Oh, Springfield's a nice sunny day so far. I'm going to spend a little time here before heading down to Edwardsville. Of course, was in the capital city yesterday for the governor's budget address and follow up on that to see what we had in store for the coming year. And I'm guessing we'll probably talk about that a bit. But hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I get to talk to you today. My last two visits, you've been taking time off or right. on vacation or something. So good to get back with the regular program. This
yeah,
time.
Me too.
I was getting my feelings hurt.
Yeah, no, I know. It was when I said I'm taking off. Randy's going to take this personal this time. It's 2 weeks in a row.
I guess they let you have vacation days too on occasion.
They do. Actually, they walk me to my truck and say you need to go for a week.
I understand the phenomenon.
I like what I do. Here's the thing, you know, liking what you do. Can get challenges sometimes. If you're really doing something you like, chances are there's a reason, and there's probably another reason why, you know, maybe some days you don't. And yesterday, you, of course, literally have the entrails of state government laid out before you on the on congressional floor, and we're trying to divine the future from said intestines.
Yes.
And
that's an interesting way to put it, Tom, but I get your point.
And you know, in this particular case, one of the items that we did find in our investigation of said internal organs was MAP grants.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I had said to the media in a couple of statements yesterday afternoon after the governor's speech that, you know, as in most things, you can find a little bit you like, maybe find a little bit you would like to be handled differently. But one of the good things that we heard in the speech was a proposal in the governor's budget to increase MAP funding by about 10%. And as we looked at the numbers, that probably equates to serving roughly 12,000 or more students statewide. And we know that based upon the percentage of those students we get, that's going to help a sizable number of kids who attend SIU, whether at Carbondale or Edwardsville. Both have literally thousands of students who rely on MAP grants for access to a university education. So that was a good thing to hear. In addition, the governor spoke to something that we've been asking for, actually working on probably for the entirety of the time I've been back at SIU, coming on 3 years now, and that's procurement reform and making it a little easier to do some of the purchasing and acquisition of services that really, quite frankly, now are caught up in so much red tape and bureaucracy, it becomes almost overwhelming. And I understand we want to be good stewards of the public tax dollar and ensure we're doing things with bidding and acquiring services the right way, in a way that's honest and forthright. But, you know, quite frankly, we've created this kind of monster bureaucracy around simple purchasing. So the governor spoke to that. He made quick mention of trying to work on deferred maintenance. Of course, we have literally millions of dollars of that across SIU. So, you know, those things that he referenced in the speech were seen as highlights, as seen as good signs. Of course, on the question of general operating money, we might have pushed a little bit more there, but you know, there's the saying, Tom, you've heard it many times, the governor proposes and the General Assembly disposes. So this is the first step in a long process. The General Assembly literally this morning starts in with some hearings on appropriations, and we see where we go from here.
You know, there's one thing that in this ongoing conversation that really is kind of bothered me really pretty bad, and I think it's because it's personal. And one is that, you know, the governor's been talking a lot about research universities and funding and what that means for the state of Illinois. Yeah. We need to find some way to support that. While at the same time, we're looking at the prospect of seeing the wildlife research program laboratory that after 67 years, the prospect of it closing on SIU, because what's interesting is I meet people who come here for this program from Colorado out west. They're here because they're a chronic wasting disease research. I mean, I know that this is drawing great young people that would eventually be able to help in tourism and have. Over the 67 years, I can remember right. going to Vianna, checking in my deer, and who was checking in my deer? Students from SIU's Wildlife Research Laboratory.
Yes, yes. There was an article that was posted sometime later last night after finally the what we call the budget book. It's no longer a book. It's just electronic posting of the governor's budget. But that finally came out late yesterday afternoon, sometime after the budget speech. And that allowed everyone, including those of us at SIU, to get into it and take a look at the actual numbers. And this article that was posted last night, and I just frankly can't remember its authorship or who ran with this.
Luke Nozicka.
Yeah, well, that was one. There were others out there that talked about what the state budget did not include. So there are a host of state grant programs that we rely on at SIU, and it's not just we rely on them at SIU for revenue purposes. They also provide employment for many people. They provide quality of life services to Central and Southern Illinois, and there were a host of those types of programs. You've mentioned one with wildlife, but others that are out there that are zeroed out in funding. One that was particularly difficult to see once we started taking a closer look was the autism program that's been so very popular, helpful, important at the SIU Carbondale campus.
And Randy, we need to stop here at this point, and literally overwhelmed with requests. They have limits on how many they can help, and there's a waiting line, a literal years-long waiting list.
Yes, absolutely correct, and that's just one program out of many state programs. We were just trying to get a look at some of those last night for a variety of state agencies, but the thing about it is that SIU over the years, I mean, you referenced the decades-long history at the Wildlife Research Lab, but there's, history behind so many of these programs that over the years the state has asked SIU to take on additional work. Now, yes, we've been a partner in this, but as opposed to some other parts of the state, there's no other entity sitting out there, whether it's a big social service provider, we have them certainly, or other organization or agency, particularly in deep Southern Illinois. The state has looked to SIU to be the grant partner, provide a wide range of what we would call quality of life services, whether it's in natural resources, whether it's in the economy, the coal industry, K-12 education, health and wellness, across all of these areas. Over many years, SIU has entered into these agreements with the state to do this work because there was no one else in a position to do it. And they provided state money back when these initial deals were done, as you know, some many, many years ago. Well, now what we're starting to see is the spigot just getting shut off on so many of these, and it's leaving people bereft of services or a support system that they've relied upon for many years. Now, they don't understand, if a person goes into the autism clinic with a child, they're coming to SIU. They don't understand that the fact that the state's not supporting the program, and it's kind of caught in this vice of a grand budget battle and all of that. They just know that they've come to SIU for services or some support or help, building a business or getting health care, and now SIU can't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's a very difficult position. We try to explain to individuals, literally thousands of individuals who we serve in these various ways across Southern Illinois, what's going on. But I do worry, Tom, that we're at the point now with all of these programs where we're tapped out. So,
yes,
we've been going 19 months with no state budget, some stopgap money, no state budget. And each of these grants, and beyond just the state grants, we have literally hundreds of these things where we receive money from a funder, in this case the state of Illinois, for all the state grant and contract programs, and then we do the work and are paid accordingly. Well, over the years, as we've been doing these things, you build up some reserves, or you have a small percentage of operating dollars that if you don't spend, and over the years you get some balance established there. Sometimes the state may ask for it back, or you use some balance that you've built to buy a piece of equipment or do a renovation or something like that if the grant allows it. But we're in the point with virtually all of these and have arrived at this point with many of them already because we've had to shut down services, where any available reserve that we had in a program or, you know, were able to build a little bit over the years, it's gone.
Yeah, your reserves are gone.
Yeah, what that means is we've been doing it. We'll continue to do it on a few of these that are left. We just then have to shut down the programs, lay the people off, and say to the individuals served by them, we hope we get it back someday. And that's been the immediate cost of this. You know, we've tried to hold academic programs together, getting rid of those that don't have, you know, appropriate enrollment or getting students through to degrees. We've got to keep clearing out the underbrush. But where people are really feeling it right now is in these grants and contracts, quite frankly, that we do. And we're worried that if we don't get to a budget solution soon, these things are just going to be so dismantled that we're not going to be able to get them put back together again. So that's why, in fact, I had a chance last night to talk at great length with both Senator Dale Fowler from Harrisburg, Senator Paul Shemp up at Waterloo area, both important elected officials for SIU, and they get it. They understand it. We cannot drag this out another 19 months or 2 years or what have you. When you keep hearing this notion that now is the critical time, it certainly is for SIU, and I would submit for a lot of the other universities and agencies who do this kind of thing. We're now hitting the wall, and I also think that's in referring to the senators.
Right.
So, the time I spent talking to them yesterday, I think that's why now, even though still some pieces to work out, everybody's still trying to fan the embers of this grand bargain in the Senate to see if we can figure out a way out of this.
All right, so Randy, that leads you in what you just talked about, which, by the way, is the three pillars of the academy, Socrates, you know, that the universities actually exist, to teach, to research, and to reach out and grow the community. That's the premise.
You're absolutely right.
Now, of course, now the economic comments that you just made, I mean, because what I heard you say was, we were running on fumes, and now we're out of fumes, at least in some of our fuel tanks, which is why last week the Board of Trustees voted for a 3.9% tuition increase, undergraduates increasing the tuition by around $350 a semester. Is that right, or a year?
Yes, a year. And, the idea there is that the board, as much as anyone, wants to keep a ceiling on this. We know we're hitting the top limits. This is not new news to anyone, and we've got to keep working, as I referenced earlier about cleaning out underbrush. We've got to keep working at reducing costs where there's opportunity for savings, not keeping people in positions where there's not work. I mean, all of that has to happen. I would tell you it has been happening in major ways, really over the past 2 years. There's just not a lot more to do around the margins, if you will, or looking at the edges of the operation where you get some savings here or change that program there. All of that's been done. And now to keep us going through really the coming 6 to 9 months, depending on what happens in Springfield, it is going to be dismantling big chunks of the operation and just saying we're closing these things down and not doing them anymore. And I know, we might have some listeners say, well, go ahead and do it. If that's where we are, take it on. The difficulty with that, depending upon the nature of the program we get rid of or whatever, is the fact that there are, we don't keep things just for fun. There's a constituency. There's an interest body that needs the program, that provides some service. It could be, in the case of an academic program, majors that kids want. And when you just start going and taking out big chunks of the operation, it's damaging because it's like cutting off a limb and you don't get it back. So we've really tried to do everything that we can over the past couple of years, as referenced, in dealing with this crisis, to get the reductions, to get the cuts done, the savings we need to make to keep operating, without just wholesale, chucking out programs or services or whatever the case may be. as we go through this spring into summer, depending on what happens, we can't do that anymore. Now it means just shutting down parts of the business, and you know, hoping maybe if someday things get back to normal, we're able to put it back.
It's interesting. Just the other night, one of my friends texted me at 8:11 at night, and he says, "Man, I hope you're not asleep. Are they really going to shut down SIU?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Yeah, cut tennis,
no.
Right?"
Yeah.
And then I got up and I started searching around because I already done my homework for the next morning. And I started looking around, why is this guy thinking this? Because he wants to enlarge his business, and he's deciding whether he wants to buy, wants to grow, and what the prospects are in this area. I'm saying, look, wait a second. You're talking about, and I finally texted him back. So you're talking about the Attorney General? Today, the hearing, St. Clair County state employees on overturning a previous judge's ruling that insured state payroll. The Attorney General says that shouldn't be without a budget. And today, this afternoon, my understanding, Steve Brown, I spoke with him earlier this morning, says he thinks about 2:30, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the judge will be hearing the AG's motion to stop employees' pays.
We have going on right now with all of these elements, Tom, an unraveling of the state's fabric. That's where it is. When you consider what Attorney General Madigan will be arguing today in St. Clair County, as you referenced, if it turns out that the ultimate decision on that says no, there can be no state employee pay without an appropriation, that's it. That shuts down. Other than highly critical state services, emergency types of state services, the state shuts down. You've got the universities all in this very tentative position, having to face the same types of things that we are at SIU, and each of these types of things is just pulling one more big piece of yarn. Out of the blanket, and pretty soon you don't have anything left. And
right.
I to go back to the stuff that we do at SIU, just to give you an illustration. And this is one of these policy debates that I think it's legitimate for the state to have. I'm not against getting our ship of state in order and financially viable again. We have to do it. There's no choice. But when we do it kind of by default or happenstance without a plan, other than just we're gonna shut off the spigots and you all figure it out without any kind of thinking about statewide coordination or looking at duplication of programs or that type of thing, you just get bad decisions made. So I'll give you a quick example. Many listeners know that SIU Carbondale runs a museum. It's in Fainter Hall. It's a wonderful facility. We've had it for many, many years now, and that museum, over the course of a year, will serve over 15,000 school kids, kids in a K-12 setting from Southern Illinois, some of whom, as you would know, won't have the opportunity to visit a museum, but for the fact they get on a school bus in their hometown and come to Carbondale and see that. Now, we can argue whether that's something a university should do or not, but at one time, the state of Illinois said, we're going to support this. We think it's a good idea. We want SIU to create this. We're going to provide some state funding for it. It's not sufficient to run the entire operation. We subsidize that museum in considerable fashion, and we could point to all kinds of things like this across the campus. But this provides an opportunity for tens of thousands, if you want to put it that way, high water mark would be 15,000-16,000 kids in a good year come through that thing. It's an important educational aspect for students of Southern Illinois schools. And, we're in this debate, are we going to be able to keep this thing together, or is this one of the programs that we shutter because we have no state funding?
Randy, this is a good place to
play that out,
Randy,
five times from Sunday on all kinds of things we do for the region, let alone our academic programs, the student services we provide, the purchases we make, that kind of thing.
All right, Randy, one of those kids who got on that school bus was me.
Yes,
Malin Junior High, my first trip. I'm a big fan of the library, period. I think people listening to the program probably picked that up with me. and so I'd never been anywhere except the library at the Malin Junior High and the Mitchell mm-hmm. Carnegie Library in Harrisburg, where I spent a lot of quality time reading about Third Reich. Right? I mean, I was fascinated with World War II, and then I got to go to SIU.
Every kid in junior high reads that stuff. That's how it works.
Is it? And I'll tell you what, SIU, my first time there, where they explained to me about the records and how many, what the documents they have, and they're a reserve for all the documents for the entire country, emergency reserve, held at the library. One of the most eye-opening experiences when it comes to education that I ever, ever experienced was the thing that you just described, me personally. And I wonder even today whether I would be the person that I am had I not been a fan of books and had that nurturing experience very early in my life, junior high, as a result of SIU. And the teacher who took me there was from SIU.
Yes.
Graduated there as a teacher. So I know this is not speculation.
And kids get all these kinds of experiences.
Yeah.
And without us doing it, they won't have them. And there's this kind of incremental or piece by piece declining of what happens. But after two or three or four years, you turn around and look, and you wonder where your university's gone.
Well, that's because you burned the seed corn. You literally ate the seed corn in this particular case. SIU President Randy Dunn, we're out of time, but I can't tell you much. I appreciate every single minute of it.
I enjoyed it. We'll talk next time. Thanks, Tom.
Because there's still so much for you and I to talk about. So, you know, and
absolutely.
We'll catch up. Hey, Randy, safe travels. I know you're going to SIUE today and then home, but be well on the roads, okay, pal?